Penguin Random House Audio presents First Position by Melanie Hamrick. Read for you by Summer Morton and Savannah Peachwood. To my love, thank you for your endless support and inspiration. Prologue. I can hardly see. I'm hot and freezing all at once, and I can already tell I won't remember a lot of tonight. I'm glad that I won't. I look at the bottle of Xanax on my bathroom counter and want to throw it off the hotel balcony. I am better than this. Or at least, I was. I still am, right? I get out of the bathtub and peel off my drenched dress, walking nude out of the bathroom and over to my bed. I sit with splayed legs for a second before looking at the zipped compartment in my suitcase. I can't believe I even still hide my old diary. Everyone knows what's in it. I can't even believe I've kept it. It's humiliating to revisit. All these pages admitting to wishing I was a famous ballerina, looking forward to it, believing in myself and the world around me so deeply, like life was going to be fair, happy even. I'm not a bitter old jaded hag now or anything, but I'm sure not that naive girl anymore. I unzip the pocket and pull it out. Whatever possessed me to buy a pink diary? On the first page, there are the rules. Oh, the rules. I read them carefully, though my eyes are seeing double. Maybe it's less reading and more viscerally, instantly remembering each and every one. The rules. 1. Be good. Be very good. Beyond reproach. 2. Do not reward yourself. Dancing with the NAB is the reward, not dessert. 3. Sleep. 4. Drink rarely, and only a delicate glass here and there. Do no drugs. 5. Do not have sex with anyone. Not unless it is truly meaningless, which is very unlikely. Just avoid it altogether. Sidebar, when they call you a prude, tell them you're not, but that you just don't want the drama. It's true, and it's respectable. 6. Put no shit talk in writing. Ever. 7. Do not let friendships get ugly. Better to have no friends than to get involved and risk the drama. 8. Befriend the staff without being a brown noser. Just be above all the pettiness. They'll eat that shit up. 9. Dance as Juliet by the time you are 21. I laugh and shut the book. Jesus, I've broken every single one. Chapter 1. Washington, D.C. Now. Sylvie. I used to love the word encore. It meant everything. It meant I want more. It meant they wanted more. More of what only I was able to give. It meant I was good, too good to stop. Encore meant I don't want you to say goodbye, not just yet. Once upon a time, I yearned to hear it. Now, the word fills me with dread. I'm a weary traveler under the hot sun, exhausted, desperately thirsty, and achingly hungry. And I'm being told that the end is only a mirage. There are more miles yet to go. Encore! Diana's voice screams the word, again! I take my position and repeat the phrase for the 100th time. Sweat is running down my forehead from the exertion under the hot stage lights. I can feel a blister beginning to swell and bloom on my heel. I know that's going to mean pain, and that the more I ignore it, and I will ignore it, the longer it will take to heal. I smile, not because it's all worth it or anything like that. I smile because I must, and if I don't convince Diana that the smile is effortless, I'll just have to do it again. 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 Encore. Diana is the ballet mistress, which means she is basically like the coach, and we're her players to prep for the big game. She begs more of every position, straightening every line in our physique, making us bend until we nearly break, all while managing to look as peaceful and easy and effortless as a weeping willow. Diana is who yells encore until the word starts to feel like a whip through flesh. Last rehearsal, Diana's command of encore meant doing a pique arabesque 57 times in a row. My feet bled at the end. No one cares when your feet bleed here. Honestly, to see a track of bloody footprints down the glossy floors of the halls is no more suspicious than grass and dirt in the locker room after a football game. The week before that, encore meant doing échappées until the entire bottom half of my body went numb. If beauty is pain, then becoming art is torture. Never-ending torture, too. It has taken me 20 years and counting to hold my hands correctly, and every single day I am still told that a finger is out of place. Usually it's my thumb, jutting out just a bit too much. I catch a glimpse of it on a rare moment when I am not thinking about the stage and my body and the relationship between them. I hate my thumb. I hate it like it's out to get me. And in a way, it is. I'm supposed to have control of it, and yet, I don't. My fucking thumb. And of course, it doesn't stop there. I privately sneer or glare at every inch of my body. It's not just me who does this. It's every dancer. We glare and find fault in the mirror and in one another, like predators looking for weaknesses in prey. I loathe the extra millimeter around my hip bones that forms when I'm retaining water before my period. The grayish-blue discoloration beneath my eyes from practicing too late into the night and waking again too early. And later, I will glower at my heel for daring to grow a blister when what I need is calloused, tough skin that looks as smooth yet still as hard as a porcelain doll. We wait for our entrance music. Diana is already poised to dislike the performance and ask for another before we have even begun. I join hands with the three other swans, none of us groaning or letting on to the others that we are worn too thin to go again. They smile just as placidly as I do and stand as upright and solidly as ice sculptures. The combination we are being told to do again is, I must admit, absolutely essential to get right. It is the Dance of the Cygnets, also known as the Little Swans. The beauty of it lies entirely in its hypnotizing synchronicity. The four of us dance in complete unison for a little more than 90 seconds, our feet moving so effortlessly that we almost seem to float. Our gazes moving at the same rate, the effort and concentration never appearing on our smooth, placid, pleasant faces. And it ends with a final arabesque to the knee. An arabesque that must be hit by all four swans at the exact same moment, nothing short of mirror images. The height, the balance, the momentary suspension between the leg and the floor must be exactly the same. The music has still not begun, so we wait. I think of the half-empty box of Sobrani cigarettes in my bag. I want one so badly I could almost run off the stage and go to them like a comforting lover. Dance of the Cygnets is a crucial lesson for a ballerina. Not that all of us get the chance to dance it, much less dance it until we are filled with rage. It's a lesson in humility. The goal is not to stand out, or even to be seen as an individual beside other individuals. The aim is to become part of a moving machine, a four-part monster with many limbs moving together. A machine with pistons. Not four girls with minds of their own and even tensions and feelings between them that should prevent them from something as intimate as touching or as cooperative as being synchronized. I used to yearn to be singled out. The old me would be craving individual celebration for being the best of the four. And so I recognize it in my fellow dancers. I can see that that's what they want. It's such a difficult balance of trust and faith in the others. If one of us indulges our need to be seen, then the dance is ruined and we all look bad. But logic is not involved when they fantasize about Diana's bark turning to cooing praise, acknowledging and celebrating.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?